And I believe it's number 540 in our songbook. It is, "I'll never forsake my Lord. Though my cross may be hard to bear, though misfortunes be mine to bear, I'll never forsake my Lord." I forgot that middle part, but "I'll never forsake my Lord." I'll tell you that I had an uncle. My family, not anybody here, but I had an uncle that said he would never sing that song. And the reason being is he just never knew whenever he might forsake the Lord. And his attitude was not correct, because I don't believe that he was truly taught in the Word. We should not ever have the attitude of sin is just around the corner. I know it's going to come. I know I'm going to fail. I know I'm going to fall. I know that there's no way for me to keep my Christian life going. I know that I'm going to be a disappointment to my Lord. I know that I'll not do things right. I understand. I understand what it is that John has to say in 1 John, the first chapter, verses 8 and 10. If any man says that he has not sinned, he makes God a liar. But there's also the aspect of there that where we persevere, where we try always to do the Lord's will, not with the expectation of failure, but because of what Christ did for us, the expectation of victory. And as a matter of fact, Paul speaks about that in Romans 8 chapter when he says, "For we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus," not because of our own accord. We understand that. And that word, that phrase, "more than conquerors," is actually one Greek word which means we are super conquerors. But it is made possible by Christ Jesus. And we should have the attitude of, I'm going to do my best to live the Christian life. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm going to do my best to not sin. I'm going to do my best to not in any way shame the name of my Lord. I'm going to do my best in my life to give glory and honor unto Him in everything that I do. That should be the attitude, I believe, that we have. But yet, there also needs to be that understanding that we are human. And being human, we are frail. Not only our bodies, but also sometimes our character is frail. And there needs to be caution. I want to talk to you this morning about a man that I believe, in some sense, considered himself ironclad, bulletproof, just by the statements that he made. Turn with me to Matthew, the 16th chapter, and we'll begin looking there in verse 13. Matthew, the 16th chapter. And there we're going to look in verse 13, and we'll go down through at least verse 18 or so. We all recognize this account. We have read it many times. It's very familiar to us. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said to him, "There are those that say that you are John the Baptizer, that you are Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." No one had come to the conclusion at that point in time, at least as reported by the disciples, that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. And then he asked his disciples, he says, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter, of course, speaks up and he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon that statement, that rock, I will build my church." When you look at that and you look at Peter's statement that he made, and you understand that what Jesus is saying to him, that flesh and blood did not reveal it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven, he's being led by the Spirit, he's being led by God in the conclusion that he came to of who Jesus was. You are the Son of God, you are the Messiah, you are the Christ, the one that was promised. And you think about that and that grand, and that was a grand confession of Christ Jesus. And by the way, because of that, Jesus carried through with what he said he would do after Peter confessed him. You remember back in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, Jesus said, "Whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever will deny me, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." Jesus carried through with that promise. He said, "Thou art Peter, and upon that rock I will build my church." And so he confessed Peter because of that statement that he made. Whenever you think about that, That statement, that grand statement, it showed that he was ironclad and bulletproof. Turn with me, if you would, over to John, the 6th chapter. John, the 6th chapter, we'll read in just a moment, verses 67 through 69. John 6th chapter, verse 67 through 69. But remember, prior to this, Jesus had already fed the 5,000, the 4,000, and then the 5,000. Earlier in the verse, in the chapter, he fed the 5,000. And then after that, the multitudes were seeking him, and they learned that he was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And they go over there, and they find him and said, "Master, how did you get here? Where did you come from?" And Jesus recognized at that time, "You do not follow me for the right reason. You're following me to fill your bellies." And he says, "You need to understand, I am the bread of life." And he goes on in that chapter and he makes the point to them, which many of them could not bear. He says, "You need to eat me. You need," and what he's saying there, "you need to take me in, partake of me. You need to allow me to be your sustenance. You need to allow me to be your bread of life, your waters, the water, the living water that comes forth from heaven. You need to take all of me into your life in order to be acceptable unto God." And as the text tells us there, from that time forward, there were many of his disciples that did not follow him anymore because his sayings were hard. His sayings were hard. And you know that happens a lot in the church today. There are those that will not abide the teaching of the truth, the teaching of God's word, because the sayings to them are hard. And what that is referring to is the expectations of God, even though they are not hard, because they are all doable, every one of them, but yet they will not abide. Jesus then, in John 6 chapter, verse 67 through 69, says, verse 66 actually, he says, "Will you go away also?" And Peter once again speaks up and he says, "To where would we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And once again we have Peter making that confession of Christ Jesus with recognition of the fact, where else could we turn to for the bread of life, for the sustenance that has come from God? You are the one that has that. And Peter makes this grand confession and admission of the fact that Jesus is the Christ and Jesus is the sustenance of man. And I look at that statement and I say, once again, it points to the fact and appears as though there is Peter, as he stands there, being ironclad and bulletproof. When you look over in Luke, the 22nd chapter, and verse 33, and we'll read that particular verse in just a moment. Jesus had foretold of his death that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Not the first time that he had done that. He had done that several times with his disciples. You know, it's interesting, he never told the Jews that directly. What he said to the Jews was, John 2 and verse 19, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it again." They understood exactly what he was talking about. Because, of course, after Christ's death, when he was buried, they went to Pilate and said, "Seal the tomb. Place a guard in front." They knew exactly what he's speaking of. But Jesus had said directly to his disciples, "I will go into Jerusalem. I will be despitefully used. I will suffer at the hands of the Sanhedrin. I will be put to death. I will then be raised again after 3 days." And he tells them that directly. And Peter heard those words. And in Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 33, when he heard those words, he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both into prison and to death." And he makes that statement there in that particular passage of Scripture. And when we look at that statement that is made, and not only this one, but also the one that is mentioned to us in the 16th chapter of Matthew, when he said, "Those things will never come upon you, Lord. They'll never come upon you. I'm not allowed that to happen. I'm ready to go to prison and to death to keep that from happening. You look at somebody that is convicted of their belief and their stance, not only in what they think and know, but also in the fact that Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. And you look at that and you say, surely here's a man that's ironclad and bulletproof. Think about that with me. Turn with me over to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke 22, we're going to look first of all at verses 54 through 58. Luke 22, beginning in verse 54. Luke 22, beginning in verse 54. Please follow along with me in this if you would. This is the reading that Darrell gave for us, at least a section of it, coming down to verse 54. Having arrested Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Stop there for just a moment if you would. I don't know sometimes if we take those words in enough into our mind and into our thinking and really think about the statement that is made there. I will suggest to you that what is about to happen comes from an attitude of mind that Peter has where he sits down with the unbelievers. He sits down in the crowd of those that in just a few hours from now would cry out, "Crucify him! Let his blood be upon us! He saved himself, he saved others, let him save himself! Give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus." And he sits down among those that were not of the understanding to make the confession that he had made earlier of Jesus Christ, not only in Matthew 16, but also in John 6. He sat down among the unbelievers. Brethren, let me tell you, when we remove ourselves and care more about what the world is and about the people that are in the world rather than God and the God's children, we place ourselves in jeopardy. We place ourselves in jeopardy, and Peter has now placed himself in jeopardy. We continue the reading. And it says, "And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, 'This man was also with Jesus,'" with him. "But he denied Jesus, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him.'" Let me tell you what Peter did right at that point. He, in essence, made this statement: "I did not see the day my Lord was baptized, I did not see the Holy Spirit descend in bodily form and light upon my Savior as a dove. I didn't see that. I deny it. I did not hear the voice of God the Father break the silence of heaven and speak forth, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' I did not hear that. I was not witness to that. I deny him." Let's go on with the reading. Back in Luke, the 22nd chapter. And verse 58. "And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'You are also of them.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.'" Let me tell you what Peter said in essence here. He says, "I don't know Jesus. I don't know what it is that you're saying or what you're trying to do to me. But I will tell you that I was not on the mount when my Lord was transfigured. I was not there. I did not see Moses and Elijah standing beside my Lord," Luke the 9th chapter, verse 31, "talking with Jesus about the death that he was going to accomplish. I didn't see that. I didn't make the statement, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us build three churches, one for you, the church of Christ, one for Elijah, the church of Elijah, and one for Moses, the church of Moses.' I did not make that statement. And the God of heaven, the Father, broke silence once again, but he didn't interrupt me because I wasn't there. I deny him. I deny him." Let's go back to our reading once again, this time in verse 59. In about the space of 1 hour, stop there for just a moment. This is not a situation that has taken place upon Peter where he is caught off guard. It's not a knee-jerk reaction thing that he is doing. There is time intervals in between each of these events and the denials that come up. It's not one denial right after another. It is time to contemplate, if he would. It is time to meditate, if he would. It is time to think about what he's doing, if he would, but he's not. He's not. And so he's not being caught off guard. Verse 59. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is Galilean," Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you say." Peter was, in essence, saying this. When we all welcome the Savior in to Jerusalem just a few days ago, and we're casting palm leaves before him and crying out, "Hosannas to the King," I was not with him. I did not witness that. And I didn't hear the third breaking of the silence of heaven that came forth when Jesus said, "Father, glorify thy name." And that the Father says, "I have glorified it and I will glorify it again." I did not hear that. I did not see the calming of the sea in Mark the 4th chapter in verse 39. I did not see the cripple that was healed in John the 5th chapter verses 8 and 9. I did not see the blind man that was blind from his birth receive his sight in John the 9th chapter. I did not see the dead at Nain raised in Luke the 7th chapter. I did not see Jairus' daughter raised from the dead in Luke the 8th chapter. And I did not see Jesus cry out or hear him cry out, "Lazarus, come forth." I did not witness those things. I know not the man. I deny him. Verse 60, the first part, going back to Luke 22. "And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crowed." Get this. Verse 61. "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter." Ironclad, bulletproof, no more. "Lord, I will never forsake you. I will go to prison and I will go to death. Those things will never come upon you that you're speaking of. That will never happen. Lord, whom shall we go to? Because you have the words of life. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I stand on it." And he gave it all away. Ironclad, bulletproof, no more. At that point in time, the words that Jesus spoke came true. "Before the cock crows, you shall deny me 3 times. And when it happens, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. And he's not alone. He is sitting among the seed of the unbelievers, but yet with the Lord watching him, and their eyes look upon one another at the third denial. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Ironclad, bulletproof, no more. When I think back to this man Peter, and I consider myself, I'm not speaking for any of you, but I consider myself, I wish that I could be Paul. I really do. I wish that I could be Paul. With his knowledge and his ability and his fortitude and his strength, I wish that I could say, I'm very much like Paul, but I see myself more in Peter than I do Paul. And I've come to that realization, and it's a hard thing to admit, but I believe it's true. And I think about those that I've known over the years that were faithful Christians for so many years. And they would make exactly the same statements that we find in Matthew the 16th chapter and John the 6th chapter. "Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of God. Lord, you have the sustenance unto eternal life. You are the bread of life." And I've seen some of those fall away. Denying the Lord, denying the salvation, the blood of Christ that was shed. When you look back in Hebrews the 10th chapter, verses 26 and following, The Hebrew writer is not speaking to those that are not Christians. He's speaking to those that are Christians. And he says, if you continue, and I'll just paraphrase this, if you continue and go away from Christ Jesus and go back into the Mosaic law in which there is no hope of salvation because it was never intended for that, then you despitefully use the shed blood of Christ Jesus. And you put him to an open shame and you crucify him again. Here's this man that was ironclad and bulletproof, but no more. And he recognizes that. He goes out and he weeps bitterly over what he did. But you know, he was dealing with a loving Savior. He was dealing with a Savior of grace. He was dealing with a Savior of mercy. As far as the record is concerned, we don't see that he, that is Peter and Jesus, speak again until John 21, verses 15 and following. Actually, 13 and following. When Jesus says to him, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. And when we come down to that particular reading and we look at what is stated by Jesus in verse 18, that is John the 21st chapter, beginning in verse 18, Jesus says to Peter, verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you gird yourself and walked where you wanted to go, but when you are old, you will stretch forth your hands, and another shall clothe you and shall carry you whether you don't want to go. This Jesus spake, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. I tell you, that's an indication to me of the grace and mercy and love that is of God, that is of Christ Jesus. Denied him three times. And after the third time, to his face, they looked eye to eye. And Jesus says, you're going to need to feed my sheep, my people. But it doesn't stop there. Then Peter, turning about, this is verse 20, and seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, that is John, who also leaned upon his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrays you? Peter, seeing him, says to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? What about him? You've told me what is going to take place to me. You've told me that I'm going to die. You told me that I'm going to be led about by those where I do not want to go. And you've told me what my end is going to be. What about him? And isn't that just human? Isn't that just human? What about so and so over there? I'm better than him. I'm better than her. What about them? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he lives until I return, what is it to you? Follow you me. You follow me. You don't worry about others. You look unto Jesus. You look unto what Christ would have you to do. You don't think of yourself as ironclad anymore because the only strength that you have is through me. You follow me. You consider yourself, not others. You look at what you do in this life. Are you glorifying God or have you given him a bad name by your actions? Ironclad, bulletproof no more, but forgiven and corrected. You know, when I think about this, I consider the words that Paul has to say in Romans the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Romans 12, verses 1 through 3. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let me tell you, there are those that call themselves Christians that are not willing to sacrifice anything for the Lord. It's all about me. It's about what I want. I'll make the decisions based upon what I think my needs are and my concerns are, and I'll not consider the Lord whatsoever. And he says, you offer your body a living sacrifice. When he says the body there, he's not talking about just the thought, but all of our wants and our desires that are out there in this life. We put that behind. We sacrifice that for Christ Jesus. We sacrifice for him. And he says, be not conformed to this world, but rather be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You conduct yourself not as the way that the world conducts itself and shows itself, but you abstain from that which is evil. You set yourself apart because that's what God has done for you through the shed blood of Christ Jesus. Then in verse 3, Paul says, for I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself ironclad, bulletproof. Let me give the actual reading, but it means that. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Lord, I'm going to do my best to live without sinning. But I also realize that there's a roaring lion that's walking out there. And that he wants me day in and day out. As a matter of fact, the more that I serve you, the more he wants me. Because if he can bring me down and I'm strong in the Lord, and I'm ironclad, bulletproof. If he can bring me down, then he has made a statement to others. There's no hope. There's no chance of serving God. You can't do it. Look at Garen. He fell from the faith. And he preached for all those years. Don't be an example because of attitude of ironclad, bulletproof. Consider with me 1 Corinthians the 10th chapter. 1 Corinthians the 10th chapter and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Paul says this, wherefore let him that thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. You know, whenever I think about this and the statement that Paul made about himself in 1 Corinthians 9, chapter verse 27 and 28, I keep under my body and I beat my body up and I do those so that I too will not become a castaway. And I think about the statement, if an apostle will make that statement, then I understand that I must also discipline my body and you must discipline yours in order to be servants of God. Because, brethren, we are not ironclad, bulletproof. If there is any strength in any one of us, it is in the strength of what John testified in John the first chapter and verse 29 concerning the Savior. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. There's where our strength is. Ironclad, bulletproof. There's a way we can be. But it's only as we abide in the Word of God and make application in our life and we live for the Lord. When we stop doing that, ironclad, bulletproof no more. Maybe those here this morning that are not members of the body of Christ, if you've not obeyed the Lord, if you have not submitted yourself unto an attitude of repentance, and that attitude of repentance is that U-turn, as Brother Nathan likes to say, and I like that. Turning around from the direction that we're going, which leads to death, but turning around then and going in the direction that leads to life. And if you have not made a commitment to the Lord by naming His name, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I don't care if some of the newer translations leave Acts 8 chapter and verse 37 out. It's there. It's there. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you've not gone down into the waters of baptism, not just to get wet, not just to wash away the filth of the flesh, but rather for remission of sin and for salvation. If you've not done that, the Scripture says for sure you're not ironclad and bulletproof, and never have been. You're in a lost condition. But if you will do that, render obedience unto God by being baptized for the remission of your sins unto salvation, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. You can start that life of living for the Lord and then look for His sustenance. Eating Him, partaking of Him, living Him in this life. And have the hope of eternal life in the after a while. And I speak to those of us here that are Christians today. I'll tell you what, it just doesn't take much to let our guard down and to be caught by Satan. It just doesn't take much at all. I don't care if you are the oldest member here or the youngest. It doesn't take much at all. It takes that moment of self-desire. It takes that moment of self-knowledge. It takes that moment of just giving in this one time. It takes in the context of, I'll straighten things out later, which many Christians never get to the point of doing when they enter into sin. And that's sad. But you know, we have exactly the same Savior that Peter had. And he is a Savior of love, grace, and mercy. And he says through John, in 1 John 1 and verse 9, confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ironclad, bulletproof? None of us. Salvation in Christ Jesus, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, unto every one of us. Will you respond unto Him? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.